Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Right now, you can get 25% off your first purchase of Strava Craft Coffee when you use code DNVR25. Not only do we love what Strava tastes like, and we pretty much run off of coffee, but it's also CBD infused, and that helps with so many ailments. It's different for everyone. Check out their reviews, and you'll be blown away with people's stories about how Strava has helped them. They deliver straight to your door, and after your first order, you can get 20% off indefinitely with their subscription service. So check out StravaCraftCoffee.com today and try out their delicious CBD-infused coffee. Be sure to use that DNVR25 code.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. I'm your host, Rudo, coming at you with AJ Hafley. My DraftKings pick of the week as we continue to look for the strangest bets on DraftKings. AJ wearing his Ferrari hat. You can bet on Formula One. You can bet on the winner of the race or the podium finishes of the race. You can even bet on qualifying. But what we're doing today, what we're doing right now, is we're betting on the winner of Free Practice 2. You can bet on anyone in the race to win the second practice session. Now, you could be safe. You could bet on Lewis Hamilton at plus 110, Max Verstappen at plus 330, or you could think something crazy is going to happen in Free Practice 2, and you could bet on Mick Schumacher at plus 100,000 to win Free Practice 2. So
what?
Yep. So not only, I mean, look, it's a free practice. For all we know, no one's even going to try, and Mick Schumacher could win. Or, you know, someone's car will malfunction, and they won't even go out for that free practice. You never really know. And that's the beauty of trying to find the weirdest bets on DraftKings Sportsbook, is sometimes nobody has any idea what's going to happen when it comes down to some of these bets. So jump in on it. Head on over to DraftKings. Again, use that DNVR code to get amazing odds boost. You can also get $200 in free bets if you put $5 on any football game and guess the correct team to win. So check that out. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. DraftKings is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right. AJ, how you feeling today?
How? You don't want to know the honest answer to that question.
All right.
How in the world is Max Verstappen at plus 200?
Right? It feels pretty high for Verstappen, given he's what, like 8 points behind Lewis in the championship race.
Valtteri Bottas at plus 2,000.
Yeah, but Bottas will just get Valtteri. It's James, right? Like, they'll force him to give up the position to Lewis if it comes down to it.
I mean, it's a free practice.
No, he's not plus 2,000 in the free practice. He's only plus 120 in the free practice. Your boy, the Donut Man, is plus 2,000, though.
Jesus.
Verstappen is plus 330 in the free practice. So that's a pretty good bet.
This is what I'm saying. This doesn't make any sense, man.
So, free practice. Go get betting on it. right now, it might be as good a bet as betting on the Abs, the way they've played over the last couple of games. So, who really knows on that front? AJ, how are you feeling about yesterday's game after a well-earned sleep?
Better.
Yeah?
Yeah. I thought we were justifiably frustrated.
Sure.
But I also, I looked at some of the numbers.
Yeah.
Because I just wanted to see. I typically don't look at a lot of team numbers in like small samples, like four games.
Sure.
But
it's gonna be misleading sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. And especially when you have a game like Washington where you just got caved. And they didn't have any other games that were, like, extreme. And so I wanted to see, I kind of just wanted to see, you know, because I'm, through four games, I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, they haven't played well. Their defense has been bad. Their goaltending has been really bad. And they are not capitalizing on any opportunities whatsoever. And so I started looking at some of the numbers and I started digging through some of this and, you know, it's okay. Like it's not, it's,
does your theory hold up then that the hockey's fine? It's just a lack of finishing.
I'm not going to say fine because we know that this team has better.
Sure.
Like we know that this is a group that we're not expecting fine from.
Right. I mean,
but they're not bottom of the barrel in the league and some of the stuff except in actually scoring.
They're not the Arizona Coyotes getting their shit kicked in every night.
you know who else is getting rocked right now?
Who?
But the only team Colorado's beaten in Chicago. Like their actual at 5v5, Chicago's been outscored 17-3.
That is pretty bad.
Yeah. The Abs, by the way, are sixth worst because they've been outscored 11-7.
So only minus four there, really.
Yeah, at 5v5.
Could be significantly worse than that.
I know. For our daily drop-in of the guys that come in every single day and say that they should have kept Groovy, Seattle's getting outscored at 5v5 16-7.
Jesus.
So
Seattle's might be terrible.
Montreal's getting outscored 9-3 at 5v5. So they're not scoring the same way as Chicago, but they're also not giving up nearly as many as Chicago is, I guess.
There's the question. Who's the last team to get a win? Montreal, Chicago, or Arizona?
Arizona. Also, yes. Also, guess who's third worst in this 5v5? I'm just looking at it right now. It's Tampa Bay.
Yeah, they've been off to a bad start.
Like, we talked last night about how like Tampa Bay is not off to a great start themselves. Like Colorado Saturday night. We're looking at it like, oh, God, they're going to get smoked Saturday. They're playing like crap. Their hurts. The end of a road trip. All these things are there for them to get smoked, right? And it's like Tampa Bay hasn't played well either. You know, they're not getting anything.
Yep.
So they've been outscored 10-4 at 5v5. So I just some of that I thought was interesting. And then you go and you look at like the real nerdy shit, like expected goals for.
And it's way
more reasonable.
Yeah, Colorado's 12th in the NHL at 52.71%.
So certainly a level of pucks not going in, or pucks going in too easily.
And guess who's sitting right in front and right behind them? Washington and Florida.
So,
yeah.
That or less sums up the last two games right there, doesn't it?
Number one in expected goals 4% right now is Buffalo.
Hey, they're undefeated, all right?
And then last is Winnipeg. So, yeah. Just to continue kind of going through some of this, because we're already in this room.
Might as well.
The Avs are actually fifth best in the NHL in scoring chance percentage. They've had 98 of them. They've given up 75. Again, this is all at 5v5.
Right.
So that's the, what's crazy is that they've given up 10 goals off of scoring chances and only scored 6. So they've created 98 scoring chances at 5v5 in 4 games, which outside of, I think, Toronto is number one. Oh, Ottawa is number two at 99. The Avs are 3. So you're
top 3 in the league. They're doing just fine.
Yeah. So they're creating lots of chances. They're just not finishing them.
Yep.
And their suppression, the 75 that they've given up, is 12th best in the NHL. So not great. When you consider that the best in the NHL is 31 by Boston, but Boston's only played 2 games. So, again, looking at raw numbers when different numbers of games played here, of the teams that have
a great stat at, yeah.
Of the teams that have played 4 games, Colorado is actually the second best in giving up scoring chances. They've only given up 2 more than Nashville, who's number 1 there. So again, we think that the Avs have been really bad, and it's just the Washington game that they've been truly awful.
Yep.
Truly awful.
They really weren't that bad against Florida.
Yeah, they were nowhere near, because that's why last night when I got home, I did not want to write a regular post-game piece about it, because it was a lot more of a cumulative annoyance that they lost than it was the reality of how they lost.
Yeah.
Where, look, they played a decent game last night. Now, they've got plenty of problems that they've still got. They've got a lot of things that they need to fix. But they've got plenty of problems. But they played an okay game. I would even say a solid game against the Panthers. And it just came down to capitalizing on opportunities.
I mean, I think the second period was problematic. Yes, I understand the quality of opportunities against them was low.
Yeah, but... well, and you also, like, keep in mind, though, that they, I think, I'm not going to be able to pull this up in time because we're already talking about it, but it was something insane. Like, they threw, like, 30 pucks at the net, and what,
and 23 of them hit the net, yeah.
Yeah, where it was just, it was insane, dude.
Yeah, they couldn't miss, that's for sure, but
and that's the no argument. Like, second period, the Panthers were 26-15 at 5v5 in Corsi.
Yeah.
36-19 in all situations.
That's
like, that's nowhere near good enough.
You're getting dominated in possession at that point.
Yeah. But... it was 14 in all situations. It was 36-19 in Corsi, and it was 23-12 in shots, 14-12 in scoring chances. And the Avs actually had more high danger chances, was 7-6.
Again, so the that's Panthers where quality wasn't super high, but
right. You start to look at actual quality here, and you say, okay, what? How did this go? And it was
staring down the Avs hitting 2 posts.
Yeah, it was. It the actual quality of chances was ever so slightly in Colorado's favor throughout the entire game, but it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They definitely, I mean, that's too many. I mean, 36 shot attempts in one period from a team.
too
what
many.
The F? there's no argument that that shit is not good enough. But when you watch how it got made, you watch how things unfolded. I mean, it's a 2-1 game going into the third, and they get a double deflection off Avalanche sticks.
Yep.
In the final minute.
Like, that's the exact type of goal to me that goes in when you're giving up 36 shot attempts in a period.
100%. That's exactly, when you talk about making your own luck, that's the perfect example of how you do it. You just throw pucks at the net, and eventually they just... We saw it. Remember last year? We saw it. They couldn't score.
Yep.
They were burying teams and winning 1-0.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, the dam broke.
Puck started going in.
And they started scoring 4 and 5 goals per game, because eventually it's just going to happen. Pucks are just going to start flying in like that. And that was where Florida put themselves in a position to benefit from something like that. And the Avs, when you don't play very well, you put yourself in a position to be the victim of that, and you are not in a position to overcome something like that.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, the third period, not enough desperation.
I agree. I think there has been a significant lack of urgency from the Avs in both the Washington and Panther games. But we can talk about that a little bit more in a second. As you guys know, I talk to you all the time about how great Chevalier Mortgage is if you're looking to buy a new home. But for something to keep in mind for homeowners, with prices going up, it's creating natural equity in your home right now. So if you have mortgage insurance, chances are you can refinance out of that and make the bubble work for you. Chevalier Mortgage has you covered to take it through all the steps of this. Mike is a certified financial planner, so he can find whatever type of thing you need when it comes to refinancing or purchasing a new home. Either way, you can check them out at dnvrmortgage.com and enter to win a free DNVR shirt or hat of your choice when you do. But more importantly, get set up with a free consultation to discuss all of your options. It's dnvrmortgage.com, or you can call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578. Michael Chevalier, NMLS 1931006. Virginia Chevalier, NMLS 1910631. Then go on over and check out Sexy Pizza. If you haven't tried them yet, they're absolutely delicious. They're approved by all of the people at this company that have lived in or grew up in the East Coast. So I don't trust the East Coast for a lot of things. Pizza is one of the things I trust them with. But AJ, Please join me on this. Are you a Chicago pizza style person? Please say no.
You mean, do I like
lasagna?
Yeah, because
that's casserole? What Chicago pizza is. Yeah.
No, I'll pass.
All right, good. Because that's
I have to get, as it is, my favorite is the New York style, and I have to get light sauce on it because I get real bad heartburn.
Sure.
I'm not sure I would survive a Chicago style pizza at this point in my life. I feel like that would just be a wildfire inside of my body.
Well, Sexy Pizza has you covered with that. They've been in Denver for 13 years. They are the New York style pizza to get here. And they even have specialty pies such as vegan options and sauceless. You name it. If you want something specific, they can make a pizza that works for your diet, no matter what it is. So check them out today. Yes, they are really called Sexy Pizza. It's not just me trying to dress it up as an attractive pizza. That's their actual name. You can try their gluten-free pizzas as well. They have 12, 16, 18-inch crusts, all of that hand-done in their place. They have 4 locations: Capitol Hill, South Pearl, Jefferson Park, in Park Hill. So check them out today. They also have a new location coming soon down in Trinidad. Once you've had delicious pizza and gotten your mortgage situation all sorted out, that's when it's time to come on down to the DNVR bar. Have a good time with us. Have our amazing Breck brews. Hang out. Have our amazing food as well, because you know we got the Wagyu beef burger, if nothing else. You can also get a bunch of cool stuff like big beers when you get a DNVR membership access to the DNVR lounge, things like that. Annual membership, it's a blast to come hang out with us. We have a good time. Be sure to check out our watch-along if you can't make it down to the bar on Saturday nights, too. So, yeah, we'll be out here making the content for you. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. So, the underlying numbers giving you a little bit more confidence in this team, AJ.
Yeah, and now we're going to get into where they've got problems.
Okay, so let's reel it back.
Yeah. The big thing. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Since I know you're not looking at these right now.
I am not.
Among Colorado's guys who have actually played multiple games.
Sure.
Who do you think is last on the team in Corsi 4 percentage?
Let's see. I would guess Makar and Girard. And then for the forwards, I don't know, probably anyone on that fourth line, the Comfer Ranta line.
Okay. This was a layup. It's yep. Curtis McDermott. Come on.
Okay, well.
You think I was going to miss an opportunity to dunk on that guy?
The dude who's played, I guess, three games, right?
Two games.
What, if, with 14 minutes of ice time or something?
18-12.
Okay.
Great year, by the way. yeah, it's Curtis McDermott. Next to him, though, Nathan MacKinnon.
Oof, that's no good. Need that and guy to be better.
Then after that, Sampo Ranta, Jack Johnson, Tyson Jost.
Yeah.
JT Gonfer. And then you get into a bunch of dudes that are right in the range of 50 where you're like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, sure. It's not outside the bell curve, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jason Megna's actually leading.
With 12 minutes of ice time, 10.
23-19.
Oh, that's more than I thought.
23-19. Wasn't that the Monsters, Inc. code where they...
I haven't watched that movie in a decade at least.
Anyway. I bring this up because the title of our show today...
Yeah.
MacKinnon, those guys got to do better.
Yep.
Nathan MacKinnon. If you remove Curtis McDermott and his batty ass, Nathan MacKinnon...
is your worst two games player. Yeah.
Two games, okay? At 5v5 right now, his Corsi 4 percentage is 35%.
That's the Avs, really, really bad.
The Avs have been actually outshot 18-10. They've been outscored 6-1. They've been outscoring they've been outscoring chanced 16-9. High danger chances are 5-3 in favor of the other guys. None of this is good.
Yeah. Certainly from a guy that's supposed to be your best player, that's not good enough.
Not helping is a 66.67 on ice save percentage.
Yeah, that's really bad.
Which is giving him a 767 PDO. Which might be the lowest PDO I've actually ever seen.
Small sample sizes, baby.
But yes, small sample sizes. That's all. That's comical, though.
It is.
That said, I mean, we talk about Jack Johnson. I mean, we rolled into the season like Jack Johnson's bad, right? In 36 minutes of ice time this year, Jack Johnson has given up, has been on the ice for 8 scoring chances. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That is half of what Nathan MacKinnon has been on the ice for in 2 games.
Yeah. Yeah. That top line. And we kind of mentioned it the other night, but your best players are going to have nights where they're not your best players. They can't be your worst players. They can't be the line that's getting caved in when you need a shift to get things going the other way. They can't be the line that's actively costing you a big goal.
Yep.
And that's what Nathan MacKinnon is doing right now, clearly.
Yep. Yep.
He has 2 points, right? And one of them came on a nothing power play at the end of the Washington game.
And the other came on a broken air.
Complete nonsense play where he fired a puck right into a defenseman's skate.
Yeah.
And it just pinballed around and happened to find Mikko.
Yeah.
So it really has not been particularly impressive for MacKinnon to start the season.
This is nothing short of for a player of his caliber, this has been a nightmarish 2 games.
Yeah. And like, let's be real, no one's expecting it to continue at this rate.
It's just, what's frustrating is that if we have this conversation, there will be people in the world who are like, yeah, it's Nathan MacKinnon, but he'll get better. Yeah, of course he will. Yeah.
He's still Nathan MacKinnon.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Is that there is a ginormous ceiling, and he is like on the floor.
Yeah, all nowhere to go but up. Basically,
I don't know how it gets much worse than it has for Nathan MacKinnon through 2 games.
Yep,
like these are horrific numbers.
Yeah,
not like, hey, here's something to feel better. Like, hey, I guess you could feel better about his expected goals for percentage, which is at 42.
Yeah, it's still bad. Still bad.
So I mean, this is atrocious stuff. Like, atrocious stuff.
Yeah.
And like, you look at these other guys and it's like Sampo Ranta's next and Jack Johnson and
the
like,
dudes you'd expect to see at the bottom, right?
It's fine, right? Like, you're like, some of this, like, their Corsi may not be great, but when you go sifting through Jack Johnson's expected goals for right now is 58.69.
Yep.
You know what this is all coming back down to? There's a goaltending problem.
I mean,
in that their goaltenders just haven't been good enough.
Well, I mean, you even go back to the St. Louis game on this one, right? St. Louis game, Kemper gives up 4 goals.
Mm-hmm.
The Washington game gives up 5. And then, you know, JoJo comes in and only gives up 3 to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But if a 3-goal game is your best goaltending performance in the last 3 games, that's not good enough.
Yeah. I mean, this is a league where 1st-to-3 most often wins.
Yep.
And the other team's getting there first.
And it's not like they're getting there first by a little bit, right?
Yeah. It's actually crazy. Jack Johnson hasn't been on the ice for a 5v5 goal against yet.
Wild.
Yeah, that's actually kind of fun.
But both
now, when we
all
get
of these
into
games, the Avs have given up the 3rd goal by the end of the 2nd period.
Yeah. And the other issue that we're getting into here, Cale Makar has been on the ice for 9 5v5 goals against and 1-4. Bud?
Need more than that.
That's $1 million per goal against through 4 games for him.
Seems bad.
Dude, it's awful. It's Sam Girard has been on the ice for 7 5v5 goals against and only 3-4. I mean, that's supposed to be the pairing that's getting you through.
And they're getting destroyed.
Meanwhile, Eric Johnson's been on the ice for 4 5v5 goals for and 0 against. Bowen Byram has been on the ice for 1 5v5 goal against. And it was the goal at the end of the 2nd period. Last night. Yep. The double deflection. The double doink. And he was the guy who actually made the play. He made the right play.
Yeah, he had possession of the puck. Gave it to Landy on the boards. Yeah. And then Landy just decided he didn't want the puck anymore.
Landy like curled back and was like, oh. I mean, he either, because of the camera angle, you can't see
how it's right up against the boards, but it certainly looked like he just forgot to take the puck with him.
It looked like he just whiffed on it, or it hopped on him, or, you know, something.
Yeah.
So it was the point in all of this is, like, is it great that Bowen Byram is literally over 50% in every single major category. That's great.
Yeah.
That's encouraging. That's seriously encouraging. That Eric Johnson is similarly experiencing
very good underlying numbers.
Yeah, like not as good as Byram, because he's playing in some end game situations that are putting him that are hurting some of those numbers. But like Makar is like, there are positives with Makar. His expected goals is 51.56. But yeah, he's also 38. He's been on the ice for 38 scoring chances against.
Well,
and as I talked about, there are teams
I would
in the NHL who haven't given up that many.
The ones that we're not going to have that I would love to. I just wish it was easier to track in the NHL.
There it is. There's that guy that we were waiting for.
I wish that, like, the passing project was more readily available. There were more numbers on effective passing numbers in the NHL.
Because you wouldn't want to see those right now.
I that's what I'm saying, is I think especially for the defensemen, they would be bad.
Yeah.
Really, really bad.
Yeah.
And that's one of my biggest problems with Makar right now. Mm-hmm. Sure, maybe there's some positives you can see with goals for percentage and some of those underlying numbers, but the concern is that Makar is not doing all the things we've come to expect from him. I know multiple people in the chat are asking if he's injured, and there's nothing official. There's been no official comment on his injury, but everyone's seen the picture of his hand all wrapped up.
Yeah.
So,
which, by the way, we don't know. Especially having not been in locker rooms for now a year, you know, going on God knows how long, since February of 2020, we haven't been in locker rooms. There are guys who regularly tape up things.
That looked pretty excessive
for
regular tape. But
I'm just saying, we don't know for sure.
Definitely.
Everybody is using that picture as immediate evidence of, oh my God, something's seriously wrong. And it could be.
But we don't know.
But we don't know. And for real, like, okay. Jesus. I enjoyed Scott's joke in our chat. I thought that was very funny.
Got him.
Yeah. Sexy, sexy pizzas.
P.S. What's up, Scott?
I don't remember what I was saying. I got distracted by the very amusing joke.
We were talking about something.
It
led off of like the bad passing of the defense, and then I forget where this conversation
was. Yeah. Anyway,
lie to you, but
I was definitely my big thing is that when you go through all this stuff, you're looking at, and you know, the same stuff is popping up. These guys have to your best players have to play better.
Yeah. It's not a complicated process to get there, right?
They've got to be good, man. I mean, they've got to be good players. They're not good. They're nowhere near good enough.
Your best players don't have to be your best players every night, but it's really hard to win when they're your worst players.
Well, and if they're your worst players, they're also taking on the hardest matchup. So guess what? That means the other team's best players
are
kicking your ass.
Yeah.
And what happens when the other team's best players are kicking your ass? You're losing games.
Yeah, there is no other answer, right? Like we saw in the playoff series with the Blues last year, where they tried to shelter O'Reilly, and that just doesn't function.
I mean, it worked.
It worked O'Reilly, for O'Reilly. It didn't work for the Blues.
Right, that's the thing. It worked for O'Reilly. He bounced back. He put up good underlines. He was the only Blues player at the end of the series over 50% in shot attempts. And it didn't matter, because every time that he got on the ice against Colorado's top line, they feasted. But they hit him in that series. to try and get him going, because they didn't, their theory was, if these guys are going to smoke us anyway,
might as well have O'Reilly doing good things.
Yeah, we might as well move this guy around and try and get something going out of our best player.
Fair enough.
And so I think that brings up
should the Avs do something like that?
Yeah. And I think that I think that it's time to have the conversation. Should they consider, while they're trying to find answers in their forward core, while Nichushkin is out, which is a really weird thing to say out loud, should they break up the three-headed monster for a bit? I know they've been together for the whole game.
I wonder if it's not that they should break up the line, and maybe, especially because they're coming home for a game against Vegas, it's just going to be tougher against this Tampa team. But maybe Bednar should look to snipe line matchups a little bit harder for them, to get them some easy shifts, to get them going a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's hard to do on the road.
That's what I'm saying. This is more hard to do on the road. More of a Vegas game thing than this upcoming Tampa one. But
so what do you think about actually the idea of actually breaking up the three-headed monster and maybe moving those guys around?
I mean, look, MacKinnon has proven in the past that dude can score with literally anyone on his wings. So if you're looking to get him going, switching his wings up probably isn't that big of a deal. Okay. Totally fine with that. Mikko, for as invisible as I think he's played over the last four games, he's a dude that just finds his way to points no matter what. He's a point per game player right now. And Landy will be just fine with anyone. We've already seen the Avs in the past move Landy around all over the place to try and fit into spots in the roster. So will the Avs be fine splitting up the three-headed monster? Yes. Is it better for the Avs? Maybe you could make the argument that in the immediate, to get MacKinnon going a little bit, it could be, but it can't be a long-term solution, right?
They're the best line in the league when they're rocking, and I just don't know why you would break it up. Like, I feel like you give them, I mean, again, they've had one game together.
Is this less of a break up the three-headed monster and maybe double shift MacKinnon a little bit with a second or third line?
You mean if his conditioning is there?
Sure.
If they're comfortable with trying to sneak him out onto the ice in between Helm and O'Connor?
Yeah.
I'd be good with that, man.
So,
maybe. I mean, I'm always for clever utilization like that, you know, where a team is trying to get by with a shift, and you just throw Nathan MacKinnon out there and you're like, all right, go get him, my man. I mean I'm all for that, because when you are looking at the underlings, guess which two players show up fantastic in all of these?
Helm and O'Connor. Yeah,
they're rolling. Yep. They have no issues,
and it's, you've seen it, like, it's obvious that their puck possession has been dominant and they just can't finish anything.
Yeah, and you put Nathan MacKinnon, look, as long as Nathan MacKinnon doesn't just drift to the top of the zone and try and throw a wrist shot half an inch inside the blue line and hope that O'Connor and Helm can tip pucks like Landeskog, like, I would be all for the occasional picking a spot with a double shift.
Sure.
Especially coming off of a PK, where you throw your top line out there and then you roll your Kadri line after that, and then maybe you sneak your fourth line out there again. Your fourth line.
Sure. Find ways to get him activated and going, I think basically is what it boils down to, right? Whether that's double shifting or giving him a different line for a little bit. In any case, if you're looking to double shift in the bedroom, you know, you got to keep it high and tight. That's all I'm saying. You got to keep it looking good if you want to play more even strength minutes in the bedroom. Right, look, maybe you like to play shorthanded. Maybe you want a power play, all right? I don't care what you do in the bedroom. We don't kink shame here. All we shame is not looking good in the bedroom. So make sure you're looking good. Get your Manscaped. Use code DNVR to get 20% off when you sign up and get the Perfect Package 4.0. You'll also get free shipping. Jump on it. They have a bunch of other amazing products, too. Take care of your body top to bottom. Deodorant, breath mints, shave mats, razors, you name it. They can cover it all. It's not just your junk. So
you can literally plan every step of date night
with Manscaped products straight up.
Because you shave the junk, right?
Yep.
You get the balls looking shiny and gleamy, right? They're museum ready.
Let's go.
And then, you know, you also have the body wash.
Yep.
And then you get done and
all proper.
You get done and you got a little spritz.
Smelling good.
You know, yeah, you're smelling good. You got the cologne, and then you got the breath mint, you know. Look, the only thing that they can't set you up to do right is they can't give you the manners.
True.
But they can physically get you ready to rock for a successful date night if success is defined by an attempt to have sex. I guess.
I don't know. I'm not going to tell people what success is.
That went downhill really fast. My point is that you can have an entire collection of quality Manscaped items.
Exactly right.
It's not just the lawnmower.
They will be with you every step of the way. So, more than just gleaming balls, as AJ put it. check them out. Go get their amazing products. We love them over here. Also, check out the Colorado XOs. If you guys haven't heard about them, they're an experimental rugby team here in Colorado that has taken athletes from other sports and tied them into rugby to see if elite athletes that have played at the highest level of sports like football, basketball, baseball, wrestling, soccer, and track and field can convert to a rugby team. And they did pretty well last year. They were a 500 rugby team at 5-5. Composed of a bunch of guys that had never really played organized rugby before. So it's clear that they have a little bit of something going here. You can check them out at Infinity Park in Glendale. They're now known as the American Raptors, a proper team, which, by the way, Infinity Park is Rugby Town USA. It's where the men's and women's official 15 teams do all their practice. So it's literally some of the best rugby in the country that you can go watch here in Colorado. So best part about the American Raptors games, they are free right now. If you go over to AmericanRaptors.com and grab your free tickets for the upcoming season, you're all good. Just don't have to pay to go to a game, have a good time, have a great evening, have some beers that you can spend your money on instead because the tickets didn't cost you a thing. Of course, be sure to follow Colton Strickler, our rugby guy, down on Twitter. Check out the DNVR Rugby Podcast. He has 101 pods if you're still learning the sport. So all sorts of awesomeness all the way around there. And then check out Green Mountain Dental Group. Go get your teeth taken care of. If you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam with Green Mountain, they will give you a free Sonicare toothbrush so you can take care of your teeth at home, too. They do great work. Everyone has switched, so they love them and they do an absolute great job. So check them out. Get that free Sonicare toothbrush. Be part of the Green Mountain Dental fam. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook with Rudo and AJ. So AJ, what is the point we're just boiling down to here? The Avs' best players need to be better, and it's fair to expect that they will be better.
Yep.
So on the up and up.
Yep. I didn't make a DraftKings Sportsbook bet of the week or pick of the week, but I'm picking Colorado to beat Tampa Bay tomorrow. I just feel good about it.
All right.
I understand the data on teams at the end of road trips, but one, this is only a 3-game road trip, not a 5-game road trip. And two, you just can't stop me from good vibing on this one. I'm feeling good.
Three, the Washington to Florida flight was long, but Sunrise to Tampa, not a big trip.
Dude, they did that flight before we had finished our post-game show.
I know. They were in Tampa before our show was
over. I opened up Twitter, and they'd already hopped off, and social was already posting about it. And I was like, oh.
Quick little 30-minute flight. Not bad.
Yeah. How about that, huh?
So sometimes it's easy life, but what? So let's dig a little bit deeper here. We've talked about McKinnon and McCarr. How do you feel about the rest of the three-headed monster here? Landy and Rantanen. Are their numbers more acceptable, or are there any concerning flags popping up there?
It's really just the goals that they're giving up. But Miko's numbers are solid, man.
Yeah.
Landy's numbers are solid too. And you know what I've liked about Landy? He's gotten punished for this. But I've liked how physical he's played so far this year. I think he's pissed off.
I think he certainly looks mad. Yeah.
I think he's playing with an edge, and now he's got to find it because he's taken too many penalties. But if the penalties are made up and fucking nonsense, are you gonna blame the guy for taking that?
I'll take the penalty he took towards the end of the Florida game every single time, right? You'll go to bat for him on that one and say that shouldn't have been a penalty. So
we did a whole thing on Eichel already, Scott.
I'm like not sure if that's actually Scott or not, but
it's probably Zach.
Probably. In any case, you have a weird situation at the top of the Evs forward core, right? As people in the chat have mentioned, the three-headed monster has been together properly for one game.
And it doesn't feel like it because they've just been together forever and all that. But one game. So, yeah, no. I wanted to bring it up because I was curious how you felt about it.
Sure.
But I'm all about just letting them rock, man. When you have one of the every single team in the NHL would prefer to have the best line. People are constantly trying to like split them up.
When it comes to the three-headed monster, I don't really have a problem with switching it up for any one given game or period or something like that.
Yeah, sure.
But certainly long term, it's not something that you can stay away from. It just doesn't make sense to not go with a line that you know can and will dunk on teams.
Yeah, straight up. Like, you think Boston's breaking up their top line? Why would they?
Right. There's no reason to make yourself worse, especially at the top.
It's a good way to put it. All about that.
Yep.
They really just need to they need to do their thing, because I think that we've seen a lot of encouraging things out of some of the depth cats here.
Yeah, I agree. JT Confer looks rock solid, man.
I mean, JT Confer's underlyings are going to look bad forever because of that Washington
4-26 or whatever that was. Yeah, he's got
it would take weeks of him squeaking by over 50%.
But you're getting the production you wanted out of JT Confer.
Yeah, he looks rock solid so far.
Kadri and Burakovsky, I mean, the scoring is there for Kadri at least.
And Kadri's underlyings are all good too. Yeah, like Kadri's done. Saying. Kadri has done every single thing that you wanted that you are looking for out of him. He has been good this year. Burakovsky has not picked up his slack. Given that he's primarily a guy that you want scoring goals.
Yep.
Like, come on now.
Start finishing.
And I think look, he was demoted to the third line in practice today. We'll see if that carries over into the game. There was no Jost during practice, so that might have affected some of that. But Berkey, it happens every year where Berkey gets dropped down a line or two as kind of a
Berkey, get him going need, type of thing.
We need more from you.
Kind of
a boot in the ass.
I'm sure maybe the points aren't there for Berkey right now, but the chemistry with Kadri has been. Those two together have been pretty damn good.
Yeah, I mean, how many 2-on-1s have they had in the last, not counting
just
the Washington
game? Look at the Florida
game,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Kadri, he telegraphed the shit out of it, but that 2-on-1 where Berkey ripped the one timer and Bob made a good read and a good save.
Yep.
You know, Kadri really helped him out there, but I mean, you're still talking to like Kadri has done what he wants. Kadri has done what you want from him as your 2C. He has lived up to his responsibility.
Yep.
So I think you're good there. Berkey really has to pick it up. Comfer has given them good depth scoring. Your fourth, we keep calling him, Helm and O'Connor have been good together.
Yeah.
It's really like that, like lost third line.
Yeah.
You know, with Sampo Ranta's getting crushed every night, he's not really doing much. He had a good scoring chance last night, didn't bury it.
Yep.
Martin Kaut and Mikhail Maltsev, I think, have been fine in the 2 games that they've played on this trip.
So the problem is Helm and O'Connor have been very good together, not calling out anything in their game, but there's a ceiling to those guys' scoring ability.
Yeah.
That's just a reality. And you can't run 2 lines that both have that problem. You can't run a third, fourth line that has Helm and O'Connor have 1 goal to their name.
Yeah.
And then you also have the line of Ranta and whoever ends up next to him, whether it's Jost or whatever.
Ranta and Jost and...
That has not scored a goal yet this year.
Yeah. So, and really hasn't. Like, Sampo Ranta on the ice this year, a 33% expected goals for.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. They haven't created a ton with him on the ice. Now, there's been a lot of moving parts. Like, Jost has moved all around, so it's hard. But right now, I mean, the thing is that, like, they are straight up, they have a lost line. They've got a line that they're not getting anything out of. It's getting beat up every night. And one of their more reliable lines was the fourth line, which has turned into their third line, and that cannot be a third line. It is not talented enough a third line.
It will not finish enough to be a
third line. So you're really talking about rolling out 2 fourth lines.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is effective, one of them is not. Neither one of them are going to give you very much scoring.
Yep.
And if Berkey and Kadri are not doing what they need to be doing in terms of production, I mean, collectively, when one of them is going and not the other, it doesn't do them a lot of good.
Yeah.
Collectively, you know, and the top line isn't there. Like, it's easy to see why they've had some problems here.
For sure.
But the top line has played 1 game together and they scored.
It was as broken, ugly as it was, it scored.
Yeah, it was a broken, janky ass play, they've scored.
And they were 2 posts away from having 3 goals in that game. So.
Yeah. And I mean, Nathan MacKinnon, you remember, he hits one of those. He also had a wide open look on their first power play.
Yep.
That he just bombed wide of the net.
Yep.
So, you know, they had their opportunities last night. I am curious to see now that the 3-headed monster is back in the lineup, you know, whether or not they're going to continue to play together.
Sure, whatever.
I expect that they will, because he's been kind of that line has kind of been the warm blankie that Jared Bednar wraps himself in when things get hard. and for good reason. It has consistently proven to be the right thing to do. That was not a criticism. It's just a fun metaphor. But I want to see can guys like Ranta and Maltsev and Kaut, can they find ways to some offense? Because if they can get a little bit of offense there, I mean, it just makes everybody's life so much easier.
Yep.
And obviously the other big thing here, we haven't really talked about it offensively, the defense. This is one of the NHL's most active defenses in the league. One of the most offensively oriented defenses in the league between, McCarr and Girard and what they can get out of Byram and certainly EJ. Like, there needs to be more production from the defense. That group as a whole has to play much better.
Yeah, I agree. The defense has been bad and just full stop, needs to be better as an entire unit. But I think the point of this podcast is to kind of say, yes, the Avs have not been at their best, but it's not catastrophic. And it's extremely reasonable to expect them to be significantly better in the upcoming future. By upcoming future, I mean like Saturday. As we move into our final thoughts here, look, if you're salty and all you want to do is be mad and rage about this team right now, go watch my video from last night. Because that'll give you what you want. But we got that out of my system. Being a reasonable again today. And reasonably, this team will be just fine. Just kind of waiting on some of its puck luck. Some of its guys got to get their shit together a little bit. But
I think you worry way more about getting your shit together and then deal with the rest from there.
Yeah, agreed. But no one is so far gone that you're wondering if they can actually do it, right? Your expectation is still, yeah, everyone's going to get their shit together in the next week here.
Yep.
So, any final thoughts from you, AJ?
This didn't go off the rails like I wanted.
Yeah, it ended up being a way more serious conversation than we were planning today.
But I kind of wanted to go full monkey in the zoo on our Friday show today.
Start and just flinging it.
Yeah. And I'm not feeling well enough to go hard into the chaos today. But well,
rest up.
I appreciate everybody. Everybody coming and hanging out. Yeah, we are going to be at the bar tomorrow night for the watch along and for the game, of course. You guys should definitely come hang out. We also are going to be at the bar on Sunday afternoon for Formula One. Yep. So if anybody wants to get into F1 at all or is interested in watching a race, we have a really fun group of people that I'm hoping are going to come out. And they're very new person friendly. Yep. There's no gatekeeping, none of that, you know. And It would be fun to get some other people to go hard into the paint, into some F1 with us.
As long as you don't root for Checo.
You can root for Checo. I mean, we need people to be wrong.
All right. On that note, we're going to get out of here. Thank you, everyone, for watching, listening, however you consume the pod. We appreciate you all very much. Be sure to like and subscribe on YouTube. It is super helpful to us when you do that. Other than that, yeah, we'll be back tomorrow for a watch along during the game and post game as usual. Hope to see you all either at the bar or in the stream. Either way, we will talk to you later.